we're beginning Shaar HaGemul, the Ramban's work about what's yet to come in the world. Shanu Rabotenu, our rabbi stood. You have it? The Talmud says in Tractate Rosh Hashanah, Shlosha Sefarim Niftachim B'Rosh Hashanah. On Rosh Hashanah, on the beginning of the Jewish year, three books open in heaven. Echad Shel Tzadikim Gemurim, one is of those that are completely pious. Echad Shel Reshaim Gemurim, one is for those that are completely wicked. The Echad Shel Beinonim, and one is for those that are mediocre. Tzadikim Gemurim Nichtvim Nichtvim La'alta L'chaim. Those that are completely pious get written and sealed right away for life. Reshaim Gemurim Nichtvim Nichtvim La'alta L'mita. Those that are completely wicked, they get written and sealed right away for death. Benonim, those that are mediocre, tluim v'omdim Rosh Hashanah v'ad Yom Kippurim, they remain hanging between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. Zachu, if they purify themselves or if they merit, nechtavim v'nechtamim l'chaim, they get written and sealed for life. Lo zachu, and if not, nechtavim v'nechtamim l'mita, they get written and sealed for death. Now, you understand that this quote in Talmud doesn't really work on the surface, right? You read that and you say, gee, how'd Hitler make it to his second year, right? So, the Talmud also knew that. The Talmud knew there were wicked people who made it from one year to the next. So obviously when the Talmud is trying to divulge a secret of what's happening in heavens, then the Talmud doesn't write it out plainly so that we can just read it. Now I understand. Yeah, I know exactly what's happening in heaven on Rosh Hashanah. It's a little bit more complicated than that, right? So we have to understand what the Talmud was telling us here. The Talmud also knew there were wicked people who were living to ripe old ages. I mean, there are open verses in Tanakh that state, you see wicked people living to ripe old ages. That's not a chidush of our generation, right? That's been around. So, obviously this needs work. But this is the opening quote Nachmanides begins with. that our sages said, that those that are completely righteous, shenechtavim lechayim, they get written for life. V'resheim shenechtavim lemita, and the wicked get written for death. What does that mean? Lo tzadikim shein lehem avonot. That's not talking about people who are righteous, that they are free of sin. Or reshaim, it's not talking about reshaim shein lehem zchuyot, wicked people that have no merits. Shekama tzadikim metim la'altar, because go look, you have Gedalia, right? Tzom Gedalia. The morning after Rosh Hashanah, he's one of the most pious Jews around, and the morning of Rosh Hashanah, he's dead. Wait a second, righteous people die the morning after Rosh Hashanah, right? So it doesn't literally mean, you can't take that Gemara literally. How come righteous people drop dead the morning after Rosh Hashanah? Rav Pesin Zatzal, my Rebbe from the United States, he sat down the morning of Rosh Hashanah, put his hands on his eyes and said, Shema Yisrael, and dropped dead. Rosh Hashanah morning. So the Ramban says, what does that mean? That righteous people get written and sealed for life. It doesn't mean righteous people who have no sin, they don't die that year. That's not what it means. And you see, plenty of wicked people, they have a very nice year, they have a very nice long year. Look at Madoff. How many years was he living? Still living. You don't need to look at examples around you. Just look at the verse in Koheles and Ecclesiastes. It says there are so many righteous people that they get what you think the wicked people deserve. Their life is what you think a wicked person's life should look like. King Solomon yells and says, there are plenty of wicked people that live the life you'd expect righteous people would be enjoying. The Kvamu Rabotenu, and our sages already declared in Tractate Avos, in Pirkei Avos, the Mishnah says, En biyadenu shavat arshim aflo yisurei tzadikim. We don't really have a handle on the peace of the wicked or the suffering of the righteous. Elakach yamida. But what's going on here is as follows, says Nachmanides. There are certain sins that God says, I'm going to take punishment of the person, I'm going to deal with him over that sin in this world. And then there are other sins that God says, God says, I'm not dealing with them in this world. That we'll deal with them in the world to come. And the same is true with merits. Yesh mehen, there are certain merits that a person does. There are certain merits that God says, I pay you back for them in this world. And then you have merits that we get paid back for in the world to come. The Ramban is still going to have to define this term, world to come, right? We'll get there. And when a person is sinful all year long, so he filthies himself with sins that are done by mistake, on purpose, rebelliously. And that same year, He also does some nice things. Look at Madoff. He gave many donations. Philanthropist, right? Other people's money. Uvain ma'asav lifnei Adon Hakol. And then comes Rosh Hashanah, and all his actions surface before the master of everything. Hu yitbarach shmo, he, blessed is his name, shokel otan ma'asin elu k'neged elu. So he weighs them, these opposite these. Va'tzadik shu tzadik gamu mamash. And if someone is perfect, zochel lechaim, he merits for life. V'chen ha'rasha shedino noten neshanem noschar tov ba'olam hazeh. And then you have a wicked person, where the ruling in the heavenly court is that he deserves to get wages for the good things he did in this world. Al ma'aseh ha'tov she'asah. So nechtav v'nechtam na'alter b'rosh ha'shana lechaim. He gets written right away, give him life, take care of him. Klomal, in other words, she'poskin lo chaim v'shelva v'osher unchasim v'kavod. They decide how much life, wealth, peace, tranquility he's going to have that year. Nimtza zet tzadik amur b'dino, v'arasha shu rasha gamur mikol tzad nechtam na'alter l'mita. So then, what was the ruling? If they decided, this guy, this year, he helped this widow. This year, he helped this orphan. This year, he cheated 3,000 people. Okay, for cheating 3,000 people, we're going to still deal with him. But for helping the orphan and the widow, let him enjoy this the following year. So that, says the Ramban, is what the Talmud, when the Talmud says he's completely righteous, it doesn't mean he's perfect. It means that the court came out and ruled, give it to him, let him have it. In other words, we'll borrow here from a concept that we saw in the Ran last Friday. If someone walks out of court and let's say you sued the person for $1 million. You guys remember the book Inherit the Wind? So the argument of the lawyer was, no, not Inherit the Wind. The court case of libel here in Israel. What was the name of that case? That guy who was being persecuted that he helped the Nazis. And then it turned out...
Demjanjuk, the Ukrainian. The Ukrainian from America was brought here and tried.
No.
Ivan the Terrible? No.
There was another one where the person who was being blamed was really always helping the Jews. And the one who blamed him was the one who was torturing Jews. There was a libel case here in Israel shortly after the forming of the state. And the one who had helped the Jews all the years, he kept saying, I did nothing wrong. And they started bringing testimony. And it turned out that the one who was suing him, he was the one who was really doing experiments on Jewish children and stuff. And at the end, and the defendant of the one who was being sued for libel, the defendant kept saying, my client shouldn't pay more than $1 or one shekel. My client, if you claim, and his line was always, you can't sue him for more than one shekel. So when the verdict came out, and I don't think he even lived out to see the end of his court case. I think they continued the court case post-mortem. And the verdict came out that he is guilty and must pay one shekel. And they came out really saying he was innocent, but the jury wanted to say it with a sense of humor, so they said he has to pay the one shekel. I mean, that's what his lawyer said. He doesn't have to pay one shekel. Now, how does a person come out of court in such a scenario? What do people say? He was vindicated. No one says he's guilty. Meaning, when we speak about a person's court case, and a person walks out of court, let's say you sue your neighbor for $50 million, and you end up walking away with $3 million. What do people say? They say you won your case. You didn't get everything you would have liked. They still say you won your case. Right? When we say someone won a case, it doesn't necessarily mean he got everything. It means he came out victorious vis-a-vis the case. So this is what the Ran says, and we could apply the same to the Ramban's interpretation. When it says a person walks out completely righteous for that year, what it means is he walked away with his life. He got his life. He got his blessing for the year. That's what it means, completely righteous. It doesn't mean he's perfect. No, not necessarily. It means the ruling was, so to speak, completely in his favor. He's going to walk away. If the question was life or death, he's walking away with life. So that's the interpretation the Ramban is going with. Now, you have someone who's completely wicked. Everything he did was bad. There's no good thing to say about him. So he'll get sealed for death. You have someone who did a specific sin. And as the Ramban said, now this is a very important point in the Ramban. The Ramban says there's a formula in heaven. And if we want to understand this Ramban, we have to compare it to smoking. or some other medical issue. You tell a person, don't smoke, people who smoke die. So the person comes back and tells you, but my 95-year-old grandma has been smoking 3 packs a day. So what do you say? The doctor says, well, you know, there are many factors, and it's a statistic. And you tell a person, be careful with your cholesterol. If you eat foods high in cholesterol, so then as you grow older, the fats build up, and the plaque on the arteries, and that's what leads to heart attacks and strokes. And then the guy says, that's funny. All my uncles and aunts in Italy, they all eat all these cheeses and everything that's high in fat, and they're all fine. So what do you answer? You say, well, there's two types of cholesterol, and if you drink a lot of wine, and there are many other factors, the genetics, there are a lot of factors that could affect whether the cholesterol will or won't affect you, but generally that's our recommendation. So what's the answer the doctors always give? This is one factor. The same is true when it comes to mitzvos and averos. There's some kind of formula in heaven. Certain mitzvos carry the weight of the death penalty. Certain mitzvos don't. We don't know the calculations in heaven. So one guy could have done, let's say, 8,000 sins during the year. But he has 3 mitzvos that happen to give him wages in this world. And those 8,000 sins, the way the formula works in heaven, they don't count them up in this world. So then, okay, he's going to get the payback for the 8,000 in the next world, and the 3 he'll get in this world. That's the formula the Ramban is going with, which is really based in many midrashim. The midrashim say many times that God did not reveal to us which mitzvos get which paycheck. That doesn't say, you don't know. Because if we'd know, you know what we'd all do. Everyone would go for the high-paying jobs, right? So that's what the Midrash says. We have to pause.